Welcome to the January 2nd, 2011, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Simeon's Christmas Confession. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. We missed being together last week. We hope that you enjoy time with family and friends, and we are just excited to be back together as the body of Christ here at College Park. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that is the pew pads. You will find this on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests to fill that out for us. There's a place to put your name, give us contact information if you choose, and then check the appropriate boxes. This helps us find out who is in worship today and gets us the latest contact information. Send it down so everybody has opportunity to fill that out. And then once it gets to the last person, if you could send it back to where it got started. We do ask, once it gets back to that very first person who filled it out on the pew this morning, if you could tear out the pages, and our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. A few announcements that we'll make. Many of these are listed there on your in your bulletin, either under the upcoming events or opportunities for the week. There are no Sunday night activities tonight. Full Sunday evening schedule will resume next week. I want you to make note of that. Children's time is today, so all of our kids will come down right after Jason has the pastoral prayer, and so we want them to make note of that. Children's time right after Jason prays this morning. Let's see. Also, we got our total from the Lottie Moon and Global Missions Offering collection of $21,377. Huge number. We appreciate everyone who was able to give towards that, and that goes to amazing Christ-centered causes, and we appreciate all those that have given. Let's see. I have an announcement here for College Parkers, and I'm going to read this verbatim. On Thursday, January 27th, the College Parkers will be traveling to the Wolfhart Haas Dinner Theater, I don't know if I got that correct, in Wytheville, Virginia, to attend the Smoke on the Mountain performance. Price per ticket is $36, and that includes lunch at the theater at 12, and the show is at 2. Currently have 18 people attending. If you have not signed up for the trip but would like to join the fun, contact Mike or Donna Beeson by January 9th. Did I say that correctly? Okay. Very bad. See? Professional announcement maker. Let's see. Other announcements we have here. Reminder to our youth, we are headed to the bus station. We're doing our bus station ministry this Wednesday. We'll be leaving right at 6, getting back at 6:30. Make sure you're here on time for that. Other announcements there and opportunities for the week are listed there in your bulletin. Any other announcements? We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now that would like to give something to you. You gave us your information just a few moments ago. If you're a guest with us, just raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that gets you up to date on what's happening in the life of our church. So we are especially thankful for you as a guest being in worship today, and we pray that God would speak to you in a mighty, mighty way today. It is a new year, and we do often make resolutions that in our heart of hearts we want to keep, but we know we're not. But there's something about a new start. In reality, Christmas is that, a new start. And what we just celebrated, the coming of Christ, looking towards Easter, we have a new start, a second chance to do the things we always knew we should do, all the things we wanted to do. I wonder today, what is that resolution in Christ that you and I need to make? May He want to. He has given us promise after promise after promise. And He wants us to trust on His promise. Let us prepare to worship. This morning, as we came to worship, it's a little dreary outside, a little cold. It was rainy yesterday on the new year, and we could be wishing we were somewhere else. Some of us chose not to come to church this morning. Many of us are struggling, even in a new year, with things that are pulling us down. And Father, we could hold on to those for a long time. So many reasons that we would keep you from being our first priority. But God, as Christmas has shown us, we are your first priority. And we have been from the beginning of time. You loved us so much that you sent your Son for us. Help us to make you the first priority in our lives. That no matter what is happening around us, you are most important. Because you are most important, there is nothing more important in this worship service than you. You are the center of our attention. You are the focus of our worship. Be in this place. Be our first priority today, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Let's pray together.
Dear Lord, we love that hymn. We do have great joy in our hearts, and we've witnessed great joy. We thank you for the many ways that you've touched our hearts during Advent, Christmas, and now the new year. We have been blessed, Lord, and you have given us gifts in the way of family time, in the way of celebrating the birth of your Son and that great gift that you gave to us. You've shown us meaning and power in this special time of the year, Lord, and it has lifted us up. And we do feel great joy, and we thank you so much for that. Lord, please help us to carry that joy with us into this new year. We're excited about this new year, but we're also uncertain. We don't know what is ahead. But we're thankful that you do know what is ahead, and that you know our every need, and that you're going to be with us and love us through it, whatever's going to happen this year. Lord, help us to be positive and hopeful about what this year can bring for us in terms of our relationship with you and your calling for our lives. Lord, whatever obstacle there may be that may be holding us back from growing closer to you, whatever may stand in the way of this being the year of our greatest closeness and greatest communion and fellowship with you, Lord, help remove that obstacle, remove that barrier, so that we will not be limited, we will not limit ourselves, but we will come to you with all the energy and joy and hope and energy that we have to serve you. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us reasons to be hopeful, even in times of struggle. Lord, we're mindful that there's so many needs, physical and otherwise, around us right now, in our church family, in our community, in our own families. Lord, for those who are hurting, we lift them up to you. For those who have lost loved ones recently and just experienced their first holiday season without dear ones that they miss so much, we lift them up to you. For those who are hurting emotionally, we lift them up to you. For physical needs, we lift those up to you, Lord. We also ask that you lay it upon our hearts the way that we can serve you to others, the way that we can help. And please speak to us and through us about ways that we can serve you in our church family, in our community, and beyond, so that we may be who you created us to be, and that we may carry our hope and joy and optimism to others. Lord, thank you for blessing us in so many ways. Thank you for who you are for us each day of our lives, and certainly for this new year. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
I want to invite all the kids. Come on down. Come on down right here. Sit down. All right. Come on. Make room for everybody. Okay. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. All right. I've got something I want to show you. Now, I'm only going to give you 10 seconds, okay? And Mr. Jim, can you time this for me? I need you to look at your watch. Okay. All right. Let's see. 10 seconds. I want you to tell me, looking at this sentence, how many of the letters F that you can see. Are you ready? The letters F. 10 seconds. On your mark, get set, go. Oh, okay. How many did you get?
Five.
Okay. Three. All right. Okay. Now we're going to hold off. We're going to hold off on that for a second. We'll come back to that. I have a question. You just had Christmas, right? Okay. You got presents, right? Let me ask you this question. Think back to last Christmas. Not a few days ago, but last Christmas. What are all the presents that you got last Christmas? You don't know. It was last year. Okay, you lost your presents. Okay, your brother lost your presents. Okay, all right. So, but what did you get just a few days ago for Christmas? What'd you get?
Nerf guns.
Nerf guns.
A football jersey.
clothes or clothes?
What'd you do?
A broken helicopter.
What? Okay, a broken helicopter. It came broken. Did you take? Did you return it to Santa Claus?
No, it wasn't from Santa Claus.
Okay.
It was from my dad.
Oh, he probably played with it. He probably played with it and broke
it.
So it came broke. My, what? Why is it, do you think, that a year ago, we can't remember all the presents that we got a year ago. We remember the ones we got a couple of days ago. Do what? Okay. Why do we forget? It's a long time ago. And we forget, but you were excited on Christmas morning, right? But we forget how many times we get good things that happen to us, right? Because we want something else. Because this Christmas, you wanted something different, didn't you? And next Christmas, are you already thinking about what you want for next Christmas? Well, yeah. Maybe you'll get a helicopter that works. Yeah. But here's my question. But how many times do we treat God the same way? I do it all the time. You know, I take a lot of things for granted. All of you have clothes on. Did you have a little something to eat, or you're going to eat lunch here in a few minutes? Those are great things, great promises that God is going to take care of us. Your parents take care of you. Family members take care of you. But we forget that, don't we? We take these things for granted. Did you know, a lot of times we think that, you know, I just don't really think about all the ways that God is good to us. Some of you got up to 5 S. There are actually 6. There are 6. Finished, and then files. You see the F in finished, F in files, and then you go down. People usually only see 3 S. They skip of, and of. So you got 1 there, 2, 3, 4, 5. We all miss those things that are every day. The things that people take care of us. The promises that God has given us. I want you to be thankful every day for everything that you've been given. And all the love that you have. God loves you so very much. We never, ever need to forget that promise. Let's pray about that, okay? God, we love you, and we thank you for the fact that so many times in our lives, we forget all the ways you've been good to us in the past. And how that there's just so many things we want next Christmas. We want for our birthday. We want, and we forget that you have already given us so much. Help us to think about that as we go during this new year. Help us to be thankful for the toys that we have, for the loved ones that we have, for the place that we have. We know that all those things come from you. In Jesus' name, amen. We go back to you soon.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be generous. And Lord, help us to be as generous to you as you have been to us. And as we stand at the doorway of a new year, help us to go forth boldly as you lead us, and not to stand peering into the window of what might have been. Bless the gift, bless the giver and the receiver, and give us the will to follow the path you have so generously offered us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I have a tendency, I know it will come as a shock to many of you, I have a tendency to be stubborn. That wasn't funny, Robert. my mother, I'll never forget when the book, The Strong-Willed Child came out. The Strong-Willed Child by James Dobson. And my mother looked at it and said, well, that's a nice way to put it. But I have a tendency to be stubborn, and where I'm going with that is, we didn't get to worship together last week. And I had what I thought was a pretty good sermon. It was the end of kind of the wrap up of the Christmas confession series that I'd worked on. And I said, well, you know, technically it's still Christmas. You know, it's 2 week kind of thing. And so this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to wrap up our series on Christmas confessions. And this morning we are going to talk about Simeon's Christmas confession. Because as we met together on Christmas Eve, that was Mary's confession, but that's really not the end of the story. Nor really is Simeon's, but we wanted to kind of lead into the new year. And so we're going to do that. I invite you to take your Bible, Luke chapter 2, which is, we all know, is kind of the Christmas story chapter in the Bible. Luke chapter 2, we're going to pick up where most people leave off, you know, but we leave off with the shepherds returned and they glorified God and they told people about what they had experienced. The end. Well, no, it's not. It moves on. And in verse 21, we pick up where Jesus is presented in the temple. I invite you to take your Bible, read with me, beginning in verse 21 of Luke chapter 2. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Let's back up a little bit. When Jesus was 8 days old, Mary and Joseph took him for the circumcision ceremony. Luke says they came to do for him according to the custom of the law. And as they entered the temple complex, there they encountered a very special elderly gentleman named Simeon, who Scripture tells us was righteous and devout. Another translation says he was just and devout. He was a godly man. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, according to verse 25. Now this phrase, consolation of Israel, refers to a prophetic promise of the Messiah. The Messiah is coming. That's what it's in reference to. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, God said in describing this one who would come, he said he would be one who would comfort my people. Now, the word Luke uses for consolation, this translated consolation, is the same one that John used in John chapter 14 when Jesus was telling his disciples that Jesus was going to send the Comforter, the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, same word. The Spirit, we know from Scripture, had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ, until he had seen the Messiah. As we were talking about in 9 o'clock service this morning, that gives me chills. That God would tell this man, I mean, thousands of years they had been looking for the Messiah. Prophecies, promises. They were looking for the Messiah, and now the Spirit comes to this one individual and says, you will not die until you see the Messiah. That just, man, what an incredible promise to this man of God, to this righteous and devout man of God. You will not die until you see the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. So day after day, month after month, probably year after year, we don't know how long that promise had extended, we don't know, but maybe year after year, Simeon had gotten up, he had been waiting, get up every day, wait, is this the day? And then on this day that's recorded in Scripture, the Holy Spirit says, buddy, this is the day. Go to the temple. You're going to see the Messiah. And when Simeon arrived, he was looking for the Messiah. And when that supernatural moment occurred, Simeon took that baby in his arms and blessed or praised God. And Simeon made his confession about who Jesus would be, who Jesus is. And we're going to look at that. Here are 3 points about what Simeon's confession is about Jesus. The first one is that in verse 30, Simeon says, my eyes have seen your salvation. Now, according to Luke, God had prepared this event. And all people, according to verse 31, it said it's for all people which have prepared in the sight of all people. It's going to happen for everyone. Simeon is basically communicating the implications of that. He's saying Jesus would be a light of revelation for the Gentiles. That probably came as a shock to some of the good Jews that were there in the temple. He's going to be a light of revelation of the Gentiles to the mass of humanity who lived in spiritual darkness. A light had come. But then he goes on to say, and to the Jews, he will be the glory of Israel. He is the fulfillment. He is the culmination of all of the law. He's the fulfillment of all the prophets. He's the fulfillment of all the prophecies that have been spoken about the Messiah. Here he is. He is the fulfillment of the promises of God. He is the hope of the world. Man, what a day in the temple, huh? Specifically, he goes on to say, this baby is going to be a dividing line. Simeon told Mary, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. What is that saying? Simeon is telling us basically that Jesus had come to save, yet there will be those, because their hearts are not attuned with God, there will be those who refuse and resist him. And when they do, they'll be lost. Now, that's not a politically correct message. Pastor, don't you think that's a little exclusive? Well, right here. He died for everyone. The message is for everyone. But there will be some who refuse to accept him. And they'll be lost. But for now, Simeon is enjoying that moment. He's seen God's salvation. He did have a word of warning for Mary, though. If you notice toward the end of the passage, he tells Mary, a sword will pierce your heart also. In other words, there'll be times of joy, but this will be incredibly painful for you. No doubt referencing what Mary would have to experience as she saw her son beaten to the point where he did not resemble a man and crucified for us. A warning for Mary. But his eyes had seen the salvation. That's point one. The second part of his confession is, in verse 29, it starts, according to your word. Now, Luke tells us that the Spirit was active. It was active in Simeon's life. He was a man who was filled with the Spirit, who walked with the Spirit. The Spirit had revealed God's plan to him. He had revealed God's will to him. And now, Simeon comes to the temple, led there by the Spirit, under the Spirit's direction. And as Simeon followed the Spirit's leading, he was brought to Jesus. That'll preach. We may do another whole series on that. As he followed the Spirit's leading, he was brought to Jesus. That's what God desires from us. to follow the Spirit's leading to bring us to Jesus. And once we know Jesus, to follow the Spirit's bidding to make us more like Jesus. If you go back in the Old Testament, it's rich with promises and prophecies about Jesus, who he would be, the coming Messiah. And with the coming of Christ, God the Father is fulfilling all of those promises. Yet on a more personal note, Simeon had received promises and assurances which were much more immediate. And to Simeon, God kept his promises. As Jeff told the children, God keeps his promises. I could ask you for testimonies. I bet you we'd have 100 people or more that could stand up and tell about times that God kept his promises in your life, couldn't you? Do your head this way. Sure he could. If you've tested God, if you've seen him at work in your life, you know that he keeps his promises. He was promised that he would not see death, Simeon was, until he had seen the Lord's Christ, or Messiah. And now he sees it played out right before his very eyes. He sees the Messiah. He's holding the blessing, the fulfillment of God's promise. All things, both prophesied in Scripture and promised personally to Simeon, came to pass according to this wording, according to God's word. Live your life according to God's word. That's the second part of his testimony. That's the second part of his confession. The third part is in verse 29 and 30. It says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Simeon said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. So when are you ready to die? Preacher, that's a strange question. Where did that come from? When are we ready to die? Is it when we've made our peace with God? Is it when there's no unfinished business? If that's the case, we probably would never die. Is it when we've righted all the wrongs in our life? Actually, it's when God says it's time. And for Simeon, he gave him the promise, you won't see death until you've seen the Messiah. And Simeon's response is, praise God, I've seen the Messiah. Now I can depart in peace. What a beautiful story. My prayer is for each of you that you would not depart until you know peace through Jesus Christ. So what does Simeon say to us? That's what he said about the Messiah. What do we draw from this? I think there's four things. First of all, Simeon tells us that a Savior has come, pure and simple. In short, Jesus came to save the lost. He came to save us. Luke tells us Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Secondly, Simeon demonstrates that God can and will be active in our lives just as he was in Simeon's. God has taken the initiative. Now the issue is, how will we respond to that? How do we respond to God stepping into the path of human history as a baby, as his son, for us? Will we cooperate? Will we walk according to the Spirit? How will we respond to his gift to us? Thirdly, I think Simeon reminds us that God keeps his promises. We may beat this to death, but it needs to be told. God keeps his promises. In a day and time when people fail you all the time, understand, God keeps his promises. So will you claim the promises of God? Will you stand on the promises of God and thereby walk by faith? Fourth, he tells us that we too can die in peace. Because there is nothing as sure as death and nothing so unsure as time. It's incumbent upon us to respond now. In Paul's words, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. My prayer for you is that you would encounter and know and receive the gift of Jesus Christ in your own life. To begin in a right fashion and recognizing who Jesus is. He is our Savior. Recognizing that we desire to walk with Him, to have communion with Him is important. It's also important to recognize we want to have communion with one another. Communion is something that draws us together with each other as well as with the Father. And so as we have communion this morning, my hope and my plan is that it would truly be communion for you. Rather than just take the tray and take one and pass on, serve each other. Serve each other. Experience communion with one another, even as we commune with the Father. Let me say a word of instruction and encouragement to you. If you are a believer, we practice open communion. which means if you're a believer, we invite you to be a part of communion with us. You do not have to be a member of College Park, but we want you to join with us in communion this morning. We know from the scriptural account that as Jesus met with his disciples, he took the bread and he broke it. And he told them, this is my body that's broken for you. My prayer for us is that we would be broken, that we would be humble before God. Scripture tells us that Jesus also took the cup. And he said, this is a new covenant in my blood, a new covenant. Jesus ushered in a new agreement, a fresh start, a new arrangement. And by having a relationship with him, we have a fresh start, a new arrangement. It's one that brings joy, peace, love, and salvation. Scripture tells us that before they left, they sang a hymn. So we're going to sing a hymn. Before we go out from here, we're going to sing a hymn. And I invite you, as we sing this hymn, as we've already said, today is the day of salvation. If you're here and you don't know this Jesus that we've been talking about in a personal way, I want to invite you, what better way to start the new year than to start with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I'll be here as we sing and be glad to talk with you, share with you how you can receive Jesus. If you're here and you are a believer, but you just really haven't been walking by the Spirit in a way that you recognize when you read about Simeon's life, I want to encourage you. You can certainly pray where you are, settle that there. The altar will be open. You're welcome to come here. Be glad to speak with you if you'd like, whatever you need to do to kind of get back on track with what God wants from you. And if you're here and you're a believer and you say, hey, I'd love to be a part of this fellowship, this congregation. There are many ways that we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Be seated for just a moment, please. Piper Schimmel is here. Come, Piper, come stand with me. She has been a part of this fellowship for a long time in terms of visiting with us, being a part, interacting, part of Sunday school. She comes this morning to make it official. She says she wants to be a member of College Park. She's coming by a statement of faith, having experienced believer's baptism. If you will rejoice with her, support her, encourage her, as they have already been doing, right? Okay, all right. As you have already been doing, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen?
Fantastic. At the conclusion of the service, I want to invite you to come by. She's going to be standing here. David, will you stand with her? Okay, all right. And if you would greet her and extend fellowship to her, would you join me now in standing for our benediction? Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings of today. We thank you for your word, how it comes alive in our hearts. And Father, we pray that we'd put feet on our faith this week, that we would put into practice the things that you've taught us today. Father, we love you. We thank you for the blessings of life and the gift of life that you've given us today. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us.
We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.